This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome in to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. This is Kelly Ebsary standing in for Dr. Smith. We are out at Contact in the Desert in the Yucca Valley. We have been sponsoring the event, and we are very, very excited. We really appreciate everybody tuning in week after week. We've had some amazing guests that are speaking this weekend out here at Contact in the Desert. We've had Stanton Friedman. We had Clyde Lewis. We had Jim Mars. You can check out the archives at www.drgregorysmith.com. And I also want to announce the winner of our contest. We were able to have a contest and give away a free 3-day pass to the event. And we thank everybody for entering. And our winner is Ricky Jones of Phoenix, Arizona. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in, and hopefully we'll be doing the same thing next year. It's an amazing event, and I also want to welcome tonight one of the speakers and presenters at the event, Barbara Harris, who I see primarily as an artist, because that's how I see everybody. That's what interests me, is the creativity, and this seems to be the Yucca Valley and Joshua Tree seems to be a magnet for artists, filmmakers, painters, sculptors, and creative minds of all kinds. And I finally made it out here myself. I've been trying to get out here for a long time. So I want to welcome Barbara Harris, our guest, and welcome in, Barbara. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for having me, Kelly.
Thank you for coming on. So Barbara, I'm gonna dub her the Docent of the Desert. She gives presentations, tours of the Yucca Valley area, highlights of the Yucca Valley area, focusing on UFOs, native culture, mysteries, legends, folklores, homesteading, and on for, and so forth. So anyway, I was fascinated, Barbara, when I didn't realize that these gatherings have been going on since the early 50s. And in fact, in the early 50s, there were over 10,000 people gathered in the Yucca Valley to discuss UFOs.
Oh, yeah. This whole area was, I think, a kind of a magnet for spirituality and UFOs, particularly between the 1950s and the 1970s. And it's crazy because as I started doing my work as a historian in this area, I started looking into the newspapers and doing oral interviews of the people. And the people around this area documented it so well that they actually had newspapers and newsletters that came out weekly and monthly that documented their UFO sightings. That's how commonplace that was around this time during the 1950s to the 1970s. But something happened in the mid-1970s, late 1970s. It kind of went to sleep, and it settled down. It didn't go away, but it settled down. And it seemed like it wasn't until like Contact in the Desert really started coming around again that this whole thing has now really found a whole new life. It's just amazing. I can't tell you the stories that are all just popping up with new UFO sightings.
Let me ask you this. You know, a lot of people believe that, I mean, there is a large military base near there, that a lot of these craft and a lot of these sightings are actually military. And, you know, I've heard that the military is at least 30 years ahead in technology than the general public and the folks funding it all, us, know about. What do you think? Or what would you say? Have you noted a difference between what we would call, let's say, an organic extraterrestrial event and something that's just sort of like super space age advance that we don't recognize? And if so, what would you say the difference is in those kinds of sightings?
Oh, I can. Okay. I know this one perfectly because I come from like the head. I have to have scientific fact, and I'm, you know, I'm like a historian. So everything I do is based in, you know, I want to see it on paper. I want the proof.
And we appreciate that.
So you know, even when I do these things, you know, and I was taking people out on tours, you know, people would get really excited when they would see things in the sky. And I would, you know, sit there and I'd go, well, that's really nice, but remember, we're only 5 miles from the largest marine base in the country. And one of my first contacts in the deserts, though, I kind of got my, I don't know, what handed to me. And it kind of changed my whole belief system with regards to UFOs. I had a man go out on the tour. To Giant Rock with me, and I didn't know this man.
Let me ask you this, just to set up a preface, because not everybody knows about Giant Rock. I'm just learning about it myself. What is Giant Rock, where is it located?
Giant Rock is this boulder that is about 25 miles outside from Joshua Tree National Park, and I think most people know where that is. And it sits out in the middle of the desert. It's this giant boulder. It was once considered the largest freestanding boulder in the world. It was once about 6,000 square foot in diameter. So it had a big, you know, imprint on the desert. It weighed between 25 and 100,000 tons.
Holy
and it
cow.
Stood at about 7 stories tall. It's very close to that now, but it's been kind of weathered. And most people believe that it was probably glacier related. However, it is very much volcanic related. And this is a giant granite boulder that just sits there in the desert.
Let me ask you this. If it's volcanic related, why would it be granite?
I know. And the thing that, again, I'm not a geologist. However, I can direct people to understanding how that got there and why the boulders are like they are and the geology is of this area. Because much of the geology of this area is very much like the boulders, like they are in Joshua Tree National Park. You'll find the boulder that Giant Rock is made of very similar to the boulder that is in Joshua Tree National Park. So not being a geologist, I don't talk about that, and I direct people to the Joshua Tree National Park website to understand it, because they use all these big scientific terms,
right?
And you know, they talk about the magma and how water rises up and it freezes and then it breaks and how these boulders get formed. So I hope that answers some of your question.
I'm more interested in the mystical than the ignatius nature of a rock, but I know that our listeners are more scientific than I likely am, so
yeah. And it's just, but you know, the whole geology out there is basically granite. And so, you know, for that whole area, you know, to happen the way it did, and I kind of lost my train of thought. Where are we going on that?
We were just giving a primer on what is Giant Rock, where is it?
Oh, yeah. And so the rock sits out there, and it became mostly famous in, you know, it has quite a history. It was very common. The Native Americans really knew that this rock was very special. And they used this rock a lot for their ceremonies. And what made it really unique was the fact that only the shaman and the chiefs of tribes would be allowed to stay at the rock.
Mm.
The average, you know, the tribesmen would have to camp miles away. They considered this rock so sacred that that's how they set up their traditions.
And I read it was a convergence, like a place where all the northern and southern nations gathered.
Not nations. It was mainly a migrating. The tribes in this area were nomadic. So in the fall, when they were coming from the mountains up like in Big Bear in that area in the cold, and they were migrating from the winter down to the warmer areas, down towards the desert in Yuma, they would stop at Giant Rock for 3 days or so. And that's where they would conduct ceremonies. And they would do that again in the spring when they were, you know, migrating back up to the mountains when, you know, they wanted to get into the cooler areas when the deserts got too hot.
Hmm.
So, and that's one of the part of the things I found out is as a historian, because in some of the things you can read about giant rock, they will talk about Hopis and Hopis being in this area. And we only have four major tribes that migrated in this area. And the Hopis basically weren't part of this particular area. We had like the Chimwewe, the Serrano, the Kawia, and another one I just can't, it's escaping me right now.
Well, the Hopis are the ones that I always hear associated with like the Blue Kachina and communications and extraterrestrials. Like of all the native tribes, the yes. Hopi is the one that I most associate with these yes. kinds of.
And I think, and something happened in the year 2000 when the rock split and broke off. There were people that had automatically associated that with giant rock, and people were, there was a kind of like a message that came out, and it had come out with the idea that if the rock split down the middle, mankind was going to kind of be saved and we were going to be okay. But if the message was, if the rock split to either side, that this was the new era of the Divine Mother. And this was supposed to be a Hopi prophecy that was going to be fulfilled. And I passed that along as part of the folklore of the area. However, again, I, as being a historian of the area, I also have to remind people that the Hopi people were not part of this area. So I want people to understand, you know, the idea of what's happening with the spirituality of the rock.
Barbara, hold that thought. We have got to go to break. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. We'll be right back.
If you have to call a plumber, why not call one who shows up on time and smells good? Like Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber, at 1-800-446-MIKE. Or you can always book your appointment online at MikeDiamond.com.
World, say hello to some old friends. It's been a long time, but they remember you. They're my toes, and they've been hidden ever since I got nail fungus. Yeah, nail fungus. I know, embarrassing, right? Really ugly stuff that I just couldn't get rid of. Tried several doctors, took pills, creams, even considered surgery. Of course, with that, you lose your nail, and there's no guarantee that the fungus won't come back. So I tried Clear Touch. Clear Touch is a little handheld device you use at home. It's painless because it uses light. Yes, light to travel fast and deep. Can't believe I went so long hiding my toes when this simple, inexpensive solution was waiting right there at Clear Touch. Clear Touch is even cleared by the FDA because it's safe and works. Yeah, my toes saw the light. So, world, I'd appreciate it if you could pass the word about Clear Touch, the phototherapy solution that works.
Call 800-720-1070. That's 800-720-1070. That's 800-720-1070 or cleartouchnails.com.
Next on our program.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we're on the front door of Election Day. Is California going to feel the burn or are they with her?
And some people are going to be at the back door.
Who is it?
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I think that's Bill.
Are they going to feel the burn?
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Welcome back. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. I'm Kelly Ebsary. It's Saturday night, and I am here with our very special guest, Barbara Harris, who is an historian. And we are discussing the Yucca Valley and the folklore, and we were specifically getting into the Hopi prophecy as it relates to Big Rock and mysticism going down in the Yucca Valley. This is fascinating, Barbara. Keep rolling. This is fantastic.
It's interesting to hear you call it Big Rock, because that's what the Native Americans called it. They actually called it Big Stone.
Wow, I just got goosebumps, and I have to say I have some Choctaw blood in me, and I wish I were more connected to my own ethnicity, but that was part of, you know, we had to suppress all of that growing up in the South. My mother, you know, was not allowed at all to relate to that part of our ethnicity because of the Klan and other prejudices that went on. So, you know, that's actually, I think, a huge issue in our culture, how we're all divested of our identity and just sort of left with no traditions other than the mall and the TV. I'd rather be out dancing under the stars, which is what I intend to do this weekend.
But you kind of dialed right into that. And there's so many interesting sides of the rock. Even the last shaman, an interesting side piece to this, the big rock, was the fact that the last shaman who performed ceremony out there actually put an imprint on the rock of a scorpion. And not many people know about it. And over the years now, he probably did it in the 19th century, and not many people know where it's at. And I don't really show it to many people because I think if more public knew about it, that, you know, it would be, you know, graffitied or you know, ripped away or something, as most things are today. Most people don't find them as sacred as they once were. And as we know in Native American shamanism, a scorpion on the side of, you know, of a rock, it meant that this was a holy space, that this meant that it was a place of healing. And he put his mark on the rock. And you can go out there and still see it. It's fading away quite a bit, but you can still see the scorpion on giant rock. And it's really, it takes your breath away to know that that was there, like, you know, quite some time ago, you know, 200 years ago or so. But the Native Americans, they had their finger on the energy of this rock. I mean, because, you know, I look at it today and we can figure out with our technology and all our fancy, you know, machinery and everything like that, why this rock can be so high with its energy output and why we can call this area a vortex. You know, we can relate it all to so many different reasons, but the Native Americans knew it intuitively that this was a special place.
And does technology, like, respond to the electromagnetism of the area, like compasses and electronics and cars and stuff like that?
Oh, completely. In fact, when we tell people when they're going out to Giant Rock or in that complete area, that don't rely on your GPS. It you will just be riding around in the middle of the desert. Your GPSs don't work out there. The other thing we tell people, that if you take your batteries for your cameras out there, TV crews and different people that go to film, we tell them to take extra batteries because your batteries will be drained.
Wow.
It's so ironic. And there's a certain area near Giant Rock. Remember earlier we were talking about the geology, about everything being granite? But there's a certain area that sits behind Giant Rock. We call it Crystal Hill. And out of all the geology in the area, there's this little mound of a hill, and it is a solid quartz white crystal hill. And
wow, the whole thing is white quartz.
White quartz.
How deep do you have to dig down to see the white quartz? What is the surface?
You
like?
Walk on it. It is a solid rock. Now, here is something really fun, because when they first told me about it, okay, and that was in the 80s, and I walked out there, and when I walked up to this hill, I stood there, and I kept looking around going, where is this hill? Where is this? What are they talking about? And I happened to look down, and then I saw I was standing on the hill. So I eventually started getting very curious about the hill, so I went into my, you know, historian mode, and I started trying to dig up pictures and trying to find how long has this hill been here? How did it get here? What is this about? And the old-timers of the area, they started telling me stories about they remembered it back in the time when this hill was so, like, a virgin hill, and the white quartz was so pure that it stuck out the top of the hill, and it stuck out so far that they carved chairs out of the top of the hill. And it was something like, and when they were telling me it related to me like something out of a Superman movie, you know, when they had those, you know, pieces of quartz that come out and they stick out of the top of a mountain or something. And that's how these old timers would describe this quartz hill. Of course, it's not like that now, and the hill is like completely, you know, decimated over time.
Just from the erosion of people hiking on it? I mean, it seems
like... Not hiking, using OHV, they're, riding their
cars.
What's
OHV?
OHV is off-road vehicles.
Oh.
And,
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and they ride up it, and they wear it down. And I have, photos of documenting some of this over time. But I do have a photo of it. The earliest photo I have is back in the 1930s, and it's this white mound that just sits there.
And can we see those images on your website?
I haven't posted them yet. I do have them at Contact in the Desert this weekend, and I will be showing them at my presentation on Friday.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
Barbara's website is www.giantrockproject.com.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. So this whole complex, it's this crystal mountain, it's the giant rock, which I call the big rock, and the integratron. What is up with the integratron?
So what is the integratron? Okay, the integratron is a structure that was designed by a man named George Van Tassel. And this structure was supposed to be capable of rejuvenation, anti-gravity, and time travel.
Holy cow.
Ooh, huh. And where it was built, it was intentionally constructed on the top of a very powerful geomagnetic anomaly. And you go, ooh, what is that? It's a powerful word for saying that it was basically constructed over three aquifers that converged in the middle of the integratron. And for George Van Tassel to figure that out was an amazing feat.
Who was George Van Tassel?
Well, George Van Tassel, okay, he was, I'm going to try to condense this. George Van Tassel was a guy who had, he picked up and he moved to the desert in 1947 with his wife, Ava, and three daughters. After living in Santa Monica, and he worked at Hughes Aircraft. I'm trying to remember them all right now. I'm going blank.
Hughes Aircraft. So he was associated with Howard Hughes.
Yes, he was. Hughes Aircraft. He worked at all three of the top aircraft places on the coast.
Okay.
He lived in Santa Monica, and he had a background of he was a test pilot, and he did a lot of. I'm kind of getting lost for my words for on Van Tassel right now. But the main gist for him was he moved out to the desert with his daughters.
Santa Monica? I mean, Santa Monica is a nice place. I live in Santa Monica.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. But he had all this going on. And once he moved to the desert, this is where his claim to fame came.
Well, what was out there in the 1940s?
In the 1940s, there was nothing. Prior to him moving out there, there was just giant rock. And he moved out there because prior to that there was a man living a giant rock named Frank Kreitzer, and this man Frank Kreitzer had originally dug under giant rock, and he had created a room under the rock, and George and
he
Frank,
lived under the rock.
Yeah, he lived under the rock.
I like the way he thinks.
Yeah, and what happened was is Frank had he had an untimely death. He blew himself up. And it's a real complicated, long story, because basically Frank, he was noted for being a German sympathizer. And how the story basically goes originally on the Internet is it'll say that these sheriffs from Riverside came out and they threw tear gas under a giant rock and blew him to bits. However, over my years of research, that story has not been true. He did commit suicide. But he ended up doing it by taking the pair of binoculars, putting it together, and blowing himself up. And it wasn't because the sheriffs were coming after him because he sold dynamite. It was because he didn't want to go with them because he didn't want to register for the draft. In 1941, there was a thing called the old man's draft.
Right.
And so that's a different story. And
so he was all about live free or die.
Yeah, completely.
Wow.
So anyway, Frank Kreitzer and George Van Tassel were friends. So Frank Kreitzer died, blew himself up, and all of a sudden George Van Tassel saw that there was an opportunity now out of Giant Rock, and the rock was open. And George Van Tassel picked up his family, moved in from the coast where he was working, and came out to Giant Rock with his family.
Wow. Well, we'll pick up on this after the break. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory Smith. I'm Kelly Ebsary. We'll be right back.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-597-4816. That's 1-800-597-4816. 1-800-597-4816. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
With OnStar, you don't need to drive the newest model car to have the latest in connectivity. If you're not connected, now get select OnStar services free for 3 years with no strings attached. You'll get a mobile app that lets you start your car or unlock your doors from your phone, and monthly diagnostic email reports. Just push the blue OnStar button and ask for 3 years of free mobile app and diagnostic services. Emergency and security services are not included. Eligible on select 2011 and newer vehicles. Visit OnStar.com for details, coverage map, and system limitations.
If you have hard water, the Limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate Limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
What's his name?
Hey, buddy, it's Dr. Drew.
Yeah, and I'm Mike Atherwood.
And on the next Midday Live, we will take your calls. And Mike, the Trump aide who says Hillary couldn't tell the truth even if you waterboarded her.
Fairness, you can't really
talk
about
being waterboarded.
Yeah, I mean, and you and I would know, we carry our portable waterboards.
Well, last time I waterboarded you, but you always ask for that kind of...
Anyway, that wasn't water.
Too much. Said too much.
Yeah.
That and more on the next Midday Live with Dr. Mike Atherwood. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
You are listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To call in live with your question or comment, please call 800-222-5222. 800-222-5222. And we're back. It's Saturday night. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory Smith. I'm Kelly Ebsary, and tonight our very special guest is Barbara Harris, an historian of Yucca Valley, and we were discussing the story of George Van Tassel. He had just taken his beautiful family out of Santa Monica and moved them to the Giant Rock in the middle of the desert in the 1940s when there was no infrastructure. What gives, Barbara?
I know. Can you imagine? If he would have done that to me as his wife, I would have just went, you're crazy. So moved my wife and three daughters out to the middle of nowhere. You know, they didn't even have electricity until 1964 out there.
Wow.
And the daughters, and they basically slept outside most of the time. They didn't even sleep under the rock. And in 1947, George Van Tassel filed, there was an airport that was created out of Giant Rock. That's what made it also quite interesting. The guy previously, Frank Kreitzer, he had created an airport out there. Okay, so you had... dirt road structures leading to Giant Rock. You had this airport. George Van Tassel in 1947 filed those papers. And then about late 1947 or so, George Van Tassel had an experience. He claims that there was an aircraft, there was a ship that came from Venus, and it landed on that airport runway out there, and these people from Venus talked to him, and they basically told him that, you know, you humans, you're coming okay, you're coming along okay as a species, but it seems that by the time you guys get it, you die. So what these folks from Venus wanted to do is they offered Van Tassel some information, and they offered him, you know, a way of helping humans maybe live longer.
That seems about right. Youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah.
I say that now that I've crossed a certain number.
I know. We get to a certain age, and, you know, we're just like, we die. So, you know, they wanted us to live longer. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the Integratron was kind of invented and kind of got started.
Wow, so he was given a set of instructions from the Venusians to create a device that would reinvigorate and heal us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And this particular structure, it was to be constructed of, it had some very specific things that made it special. It was made of non-ferromagnetic material, which means there were nothing metal. Mm-hmm. It had no nails in it. So, and if you ever saw the structure, it's curved. It has a parabolic shape. It has a sacred geometry shape. Mm-hmm. And it focuses and amplifies energy from the way it's built. And the way it was intended on being used, people weren't intended on sitting in it and chanting and doing stuff. It was intended
on... Sounds like my house.
But it had a really neat thing that it was going to rotate, and it was going to create this electrostatic arc.
So the whole structure was going to rotate?
Oh, wow. On a bed of air. Yeah.
Oh.
And then people were supposed to walk into it and go in one door and come out the other. And by doing this, their cells were going to be reinvigorated. And by doing that, they were going to be healed. So, and, you know, George was on to something, though, because that kind of technology, we kind of use that nowadays.
Yeah, I have a doctor I call Dr. Nino UFO who has put me on a device called the Beamer. And it's, like, surrounded by crystals and blah, blah, blah. But guess what? I get up and I don't have any pain.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome.
But you know what? We use that technology in our MRIs. It's the same type of things that, you know, to make us, maybe not for, you know, healing, but the same type of technology that they're
magnetics and electromagnetics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was kind of above his time. This actual structure, it's a wooden structure. Mm-hmm. It was 38 foot high, 50 foot in diameter. It was built in tongue and groove like shipbuilders. And then interesting thing, remember earlier I said that Howard Hughes was the participant or a friend of Van Tassel?
Yes.
It turns out that Howard Hughes was one of the first contributors to put money towards this building.
Mm.
And if you look at the building in its original state, it almost looks like the Spruce Goose. And I don't know if you know what the Spruce Goose is.
That was the experimental plane, that giant wooden experimental plane that Howard Hughes built. Wow.
Yeah.
And did you say that George Van Tassel, or did I read on your website, was an associate or used Tesla technology?
Yes. That was his background. He studied on the Tesla technology, and that's where he kind of came up with this whole background of, you know, creating this. And
this is sort of evocative of some of this, you know, no one's ever really completely definitively stated the function of the pyramid complex in Giza. But, you know, they said that there's aquifers running underneath it. There's chambers coming in and out of it. And, you know, I guess the story that I might believe some days is that they actually could quicken people from the dead.
Yeah.
or transmute people or transport people to other, I don't know, who knows? Anything's possible, right, Barbara?
Oh, completely. And especially with this building in Giant Rock, because another little link that makes this puzzle come together is the fact that these two objects, along with this, basically this whole area, we kind of sit in a, you might say, a special zone. And we call it the 33rd North Latitude Parallel. And I try to tell people to look on the globe, you know, and you see all these little lines that go around the globe, and it's kind of a GPS reading. But the 33rd North Parallel seems to have a very auspicious background to it all. It's very significant. And just to give you a little background to it, that line that goes around the Earth has the most UFO sightings that when they document them. And that line, just following it around the Earth, that is where the Phoenix Lights are located, the Bermuda Triangle. You have also that shows up into that area. That's where Giant Rock is in that same energy. The Great Pyramids of Giza also connect to that energy. And then you have significant events that happen on that line of energy. Things like it's where the Kennedy assassinations, both Robert and John, happened. And one of the most interesting bits of that this is my favorite, because I tell people the different cities and countries that are located on that line of energy. You have countries like Syria, Pakistan, Libya, China, and Japan. And what makes that really interesting is, okay, we have a president that was the 33rd president of the United States, Harry Truman. Now, Harry Truman was also a 33rd level Mason.
Right, I was going to say that. That's like the highest level of Masonry is the 33rd degree.
Now, he was the first president to approve atomic energy. And that happened to happen in Trinity, New Mexico, on the 33rd North Parallel. And when the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, both of them are on the 33rd parallel.
You know, this is really, you know, a lot of these cats that were involved with Jet Propulsion Laboratories. I mean, people don't really understand that war and a lot of these blasts, and they're really just, you know, from what I understand, they're trying to create portals and, you know, create who knows what. I mean, I don't know. I mean, my higher power is a question mark, which allows me to, you know, entertain any possibility, and that keeps life interesting for me.
Yeah.
And I just want to know what's going on, like what's running, who's running the show. And the reason I mostly want to know is because I would like to contribute to things heading in a better direction, you know. And if there are these sort of weird, you know, kinds of rituals going on that involve human sacrifice and war and destruction, like I would like to see it come to an end and reverse it for something brighter and more human friendly.
Yeah. The interesting thing about this 33rd parallel, you know, you just have to admit when you start doing research in it, like me, and I'm always looking for the fact behind it, but I have to admit there's something odd about it. There's something weird that you kind of, your makes the back of your hair stand up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people always ask, what is it? What do you think? What's behind it? And there's just so many things that happen on this one parallel. And it's kind of weird because it's somebody mostly thinks that maybe this is a portal. Maybe this is the area that has the anti-gravity, you know, focus, that things are able to move in and out of different dimensions in. You know, again, you know, we're just simple human beings. And how do we know? You know, we really don't. So everything's always a guess until we can scientifically figure it out, I guess. But, you know, I stay in my little hub of, I'll stay the historian and I'll do the little storytelling until you know, I can figure it out.
Well, and I'll stay the actress and the freak and entertain all kinds of possibilities, including the fact that the aliens may have taken all of my eggs, and I'd like to say that they have excellent taste in DNA. All right, we're going to go to a break. We're with Barbara Harris. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. I'm Kelly Ebsery. We'll be right back.
Your love is king. Crown you with my heart. Your love is king. Now we need to part. Your kisses ring.
It's Peter Tobin for Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Colin, the GM, thinks way outside the box. Like I said, give me a great price on a Jeep Renegade Sport. He said, how about $175 a month with just $50 down? They also have the most over-the-top conversions that make a statement. Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they got Cherokees, Challengers, muscle cars, trucks, and Renegades for just $175 a month with only $50 down. Their phone number, 805-416-1328, or go to their website, Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Do you love those fixer-upper reality shows? Well, we're moving to KABC Studios, and you're invited to go on the journey with us. The new place is in bad shape and needs a ton of work, so we've lined up some local partners who are going to be helping us flip this biz into something rad. We'll keep you posted with short videos so you can see the process and borrow some ideas. And if you've got any design tips, by all means, hit us up on social media by using hashtag FlipThisBiz.
Hey, you like free stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, KABC is on a mission to hook you up with tickets to the hottest concerts, comedy shows, movie premieres, theme parks, restaurants, gift cards, cash books, DVDs, hats, t-shirts, fans, money, Well, pretty much anything that we can get our hands on.
Gimme.
But before, hang on a second, you can get your hands on these cool prizes, there are a couple of rules.
KABC on-air contests are open to legal U.S. residents age 18 or older at the time of entry who reside in Los Angeles, Orange, San Bernardino, Riverside, or Ventura counties.
Employees of Cumulus Media Holdings Incorporated, its parent company, affiliates, related entities, and subsidiaries, other radio stations serving the listening area, and immediate family members and household members of all such employees are not eligible to participate.
Listeners may only win once every 30 days. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Limit one entry per person unless otherwise stated.
A complete copy of the rules can be obtained by visiting KABC.com/contest-rules.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Welcome back to Truth, Medicine, and Politics. It's Saturday night. We're here with Barbara Harris, who I have dubbed the Docent of the Desert. So we're going to go now, we're going to go on into a discussion regarding Barbara's personal experience with sightings and UFOs in her chosen homeland of the Yucca Valley.
Okay.
What gives, Barbara? What have you seen?
Okay.
Laid on us.
Well, you know, I remember I told you earlier that, you know, I need the facts. I just have a really hard time. And most of the time when I tell people when we go out to the desert, I do remind them that we do live 5 miles from a Marine base. So, you know, people do get excited when they see things in the sky, and I look up and I often say, oh, don't worry about it, that, you know, that's just a satellite. And one of our first tours to with contact in the desert, I had a man in my tour group, and I really didn't know him. He didn't introduce himself, and we were out on the tour, and we were at a giant rock, and it was a small group. And up in the sky, everybody's looking, and all of a sudden, there was this thing moving across the sky, and this man pulls out, and he looks, and he goes, oh, look, there's one right now. And me and my skeptical voice goes, oh, no, that's just a satellite. It's just moving. And he goes, oh, no, it's not. And he happens to pull out his little laser. And
this is James Gilliland.
Well, I didn't know that at the time. And I'm standing there, and he pulls out his little laser, and he points it up at the sky, and he kind of wiggles his hand a little bit, and he mumbles the words out loud, and he says the words, power up, power up. And all of a sudden in the sky, this thing that he was talking to, all of a sudden starts going, bah, bah, bah. And it didn't make that noise, of course, but it started pulsating and turned brighter than bright. And it's like pulsating bright white light. Up and down, and it did this for several seconds. And of course, you could have picked my jaw up off the ground. Mm-hmm. And I'm just standing there, and everybody's running around trying to get pictures and pictures. And he casually turns around, and he goes, oh, look, there's another one. And as he points at it, it stops dead in the sky and starts moving backwards.
Wow.
So as a non-believer, my very first contact in the desert, I became a believer right off the bat.
Did it move towards you, though? There's the thing you're not sure that you want to have happen.
I don't know. I think by the last contact, night of the contact in the desert, we were all waiting, you know, and being out there in the middle of the desert, we invite them in. We want them to come. You know, we have a big landing strip and most of the people are saying, like, come down. We're ready. We want to see you.
Right. That's like Dr. Stephen Greer. You know, he goes out and does these meditations with his group, and they call forth all sorts of beings. And James Gilliland, who you said was out there last year, do you know if he's going to be here this year?
I don't know offhand. I think he is.
Have you ever been up to the Ascetti Ranch?
I have not. I have friends who have and have had incredible experiences. They come back changed.
That's definitely on my bucket list.
Oh, yeah. And last year, though, you know, coming here to Contact in the Desert, coming to Joshua Tree and just this whole area, you can get your own experiences. And I'm going to tell you, last year, we had something happen just in broad daylight. It was crazy. Just down the road, there's a, in Joshua Tree, I don't know if many people know, there's a railroad museum. And it's just before you go into the park. It's up on Park Avenue. And I was with a friend. She had come from the coast, and we were doing the tour. You know, we were doing the tourist thing out for the day, taking pictures. And in one of the days, you know, we're out there, and my husband and I, we hop in a railroad car, and we're waving to her, my friend, and she's just shooting off pictures. We're just being regular tourists for the day. So then she goes home, and she emails me back these pictures, and I look at them, and I text her back, and I go, ha ha, nice trick, photoshopping the UFO in the background. And she texts me back and goes, what? What are you talking about? And she looked at the pictures, and bigger than bright as day, there's this UFO hanging there in the background. So there's my husband and I waving like idiots, like, oh, hi. And there's a UFO floating in the background. And so we did send it off to get evaluated, and it came back like, yep, it's a UFO. They thought it was a scout ship. And we gave them all the parameters, and this was just last spring, March 25th, 2015. They just popped up. So, you know, and I don't know if many people know that just down the road is where George Adamski, and I don't know if people follow the original contactees, George Adamski had his sightings too, you know, and this is like a really hotbed area for UFO sightings. So if you want to come out and get your UFO on, come out.
We're out. We are out. And I'll just say to my friends and family, if I don't come back, I'm a happy camper. I've left my dog and cat in capable hands.
Aww.
With plenty of chow.
They'll just go by and pick them up on the way.
Oh, yeah. I think they're both interdimensional travelers anyway. Mm. Maybe they're already, they could be already there. They probably already beat me out there. So Barbara, why did you end up, I read in your bio that you were visiting out there. You kept going back, and basically at a certain point, this whole sacred area was roped off and nobody had access to it. And you just felt drawn to the area and basically asking the angels above to open the gates. How did that happen? You're from the East Coast. How did you end up?
Well, this is a pretty profound story in itself because I am from the East Coast. I had met my husband-to-be, Rob, and he had met George Van Tassel. And then we started dating. This was like in the early 80s. And he would bring me out here to Giant Rock and the Integratron because he knew he had been out here. We were just young. And I was 20 at the time, okay? And I'm closer to 60 now, and we would come out here to visit and just hang out. And at the time, the Integratron was owned by a man named Emil Canning, and we tried to always get on the property, never could. So for close to 20 years, we would come out and just visit the Rock, and we would hang out. Over that period of time, we had dated. We ended up getting married. We started a business together. And at one time, this was over 20 years had gone by, and we had started an online magazine. Can you imagine that? It was like many, many years ago.
Wow.
Like 40 years ago now.
Blazing the trail.
And it's when AOL was first starting. And we had had an author in Phoenix. And it was funny because, you know, you go AOL, you go, whole thing. And the author from Phoenix, now you remember, for 20 years we were trying to get on this property at the Integratron. And never knew, never could get on. And in the year 2000, I got a call from a lady who had been one of our authors. And she called to tell me about this thing out the Joshua Tree Desert called the Integratron. And she had just come from a woman's retreat there, and would I want the names of the new owners. So I immediately jumped on it. I called the new owners, who were the sisters, and we immediately became friends. And Rob and I would then come out here and visit all the time, and we were like out here more than we were on the coast at this time. And in the year 2004, we ended up making the decision to pick up and move out here to the desert, because then by that time, you know, the type of business that we were doing, we were able to do stuff more on through the internet and do different things. And I often tried. I got involved with the historical societies and did a lot of volunteer work that was out here. And I really dove in deep in understanding what the giant rock and what the Integratron was all about. Did many oral histories, have studied many of the backgrounds of old newspapers and different things. And many times, you know, I just get frustrated and I want to walk away. And every time I try to walk away, something happens. And it'll always draw me back in. And I've told people that I often feel like the guy on Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, Richard Dreyfuss, when he's building the Devil's Tower out of the mashed potatoes. I go, it's so obsessive. It's crazy. It like kind of takes over your life sometimes.
I understand. I ate the Devil's Tower.
Oh, you ate the Devil's Tower?
Of mashed potatoes.
Oh, you did.
Non-GMO.
Oh.
Well, we are so grateful, Barbara, that you stuck out there and made your dreams come true and found an amazing spouse who flies his freak flag with you.
Yeah.
And we are going to wrap it up for tonight. We're so grateful, Barbara.
Can I add one thing real
sure.
quick, though?
Sure.
You know, a lot of people will go out to Giant Rock real quick, and over the years, it has become a place of graffiti and trash, and it's very sad. And one of the things that Giant Rock Project is working to do is to make people aware of what is going on out there. And our ultimate goal would be to make this rock part of a community that is where the rock is preserved and part of a historical register, in a historical register or part of a historical, you know, background where it doesn't have to be run over by AOH, you know, doesn't have to be run over by people with, you know, trucks and stuff like that and written over with graffiti.
Well, listen, can people contribute on your website?
I don't have that set up, and we're working to do that at this time.
All right. So. Well, check out Barbara's website, www.giantrock.com. Project.com. Follow us on Facebook. And what is your Facebook?
Facebook is Giant Rock Project.
Giant Rock Project. Thank you so much for being our guest tonight, Barbara Harris. We're at Contact in the Desert. I hope you will join us. This is Kelly Ebsery in for Dr. Gregory Smith on Truth, Medicine, and Politics. Have a beautiful week, and we'll be back next week with our guest, James Martinez, to discuss developments in free energy and cold fusion. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a beautiful evening.
Diamond Line, love a boy. This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.